Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning will come from the Psalms. We'll be reading from Psalm 91. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip over and read verses 9 through 16. And I believe that is found on page 516 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our New Testament reading this morning will come from Luke's Gospel. We'll be reading from chapter 4 in Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 13. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. That is found on page 892 of your Pew Bibles. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority in their glory, for it has been delivered to me and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be all yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your grace and for your mercy. We give you thanks for your word that guides our paths. We ask that you help us to inscribe your word on our hearts so that we might be not just hearers of your word, but also doers of your word. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, as you have already heard. Lent, of course, is the season in the Christian year when we journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross. Many of you, I'm sure, have already noticed the cross in the front of the sanctuary. It is a reminder to us of the way of God in the world, the way of Christ, the way of self-giving love. It is the way that Jesus will journey to fulfill the will of the Father. One of the questions from the very beginning of this season of Lent is whether or not Jesus will indeed stay on track. We know the end of that story, of course, but that's what is at issue in our gospel lesson this morning. It's about vocation and identity. Our text tells us that after Jesus' baptism, that he was filled with the Spirit. Indeed, it is the Spirit that drives Jesus into the wilderness where he will spend 40 days alone fasting and praying. We've been looking at the wilderness in our Wednesday night Bible study. And we've determined that the wilderness is that place where we are stripped of the illusion that we are in control of things. It is that sparse place where we learn to trust and rely only on God. Moses spent time in the wilderness, and so did Elijah. Indeed, the whole Israelite nation had to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness after they were liberated from Egyptian oppression. Spending 40 years in the wilderness, learning to trust in God, relying on God, to love God with all their hearts and all their minds and all of their strength. Sooner or later, we'll all spend time in the wilderness. It may be when we've lost our jobs and our livelihoods, we got a mortgage and a family to feed, when we realize for the first time how vulnerable we are, or maybe when we hear the bad news from the doctor's office and we feel alone and frightened. We're in the wilderness. This is where Jesus is at this morning. He's in the wilderness. We already know some very important things about Jesus. First of all, as our creeds remind us, Jesus was fully human, just like we are fully human. He got hungry and thirsty just like we get hungry and thirsty. He needed rest and recuperation just like we need it from time to time. He experienced joy and pain like we experience joy and pain. He liked to get together with his friends, liked to socialize and enjoy a good time. And from time to time, he experienced temptation, just like we experience temptation. We're reminded that Jesus didn't just look human. He wasn't just pretending to be human, but Jesus was human in every way except for one. He was without sin. Jesus was the only one who was completely obedient to God. He is the only one who lived chiefly for God and for other people. Jesus was human. But we are also told that Jesus is the Son of God. Indeed, we are told that he is God with us. Not just any God, but the God of self-giving love. This is the God that Jesus comes to show us in his journey to the cross. Jesus tells us in John's gospel that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you want to know about God, all you have to do is look at me and look what I do. The God that we come to know is the God that we come to know in Jesus Christ. Especially the Jesus who gives himself on the cross. This is where the Holy Spirit is leading Jesus this morning. He is leading him and preparing him for the cross. We're not surprised then to learn in our gospel lesson for this morning that the devil is trying to get Jesus thrown off track. In other words, he's trying to get Jesus to abort the way of God in the world, the way of self-giving love. The Greek word for devil is diabolos, and it means opponent, God's opponent, our opponent. Indeed, the devil is a clever and crafty opponent. We're told that he's not terribly concerned about trying to dissuade Jesus from the notion that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil can live with that. What he wants to do is to redefine what Son of God means so that it no longer reflects who the one true God is. We can hear the devil this morning in our text. He's a smooth operator. He's probably well-dressed, attractive, articulate, kind of like the pitchman in our advertisements. Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, if you really are God's Son, if you really are God with us, then do things my way. If you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Gratify yourself. You've been out here for 40 days, 40 nights. You have to be hungry. You can't be the Son of God on an empty stomach. If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you don't do it for yourself, then at least do it for other people. There's a lot of need out there. Be relevant. Be and do something that is meaningful. Isn't that what God is supposed to do? Cater to people's needs? If you really are the Son of God, feed hungry people. Appeal to people's needs. Cater to people's needs. Give them what will help them. Turn these stones into bread. But Jesus doesn't say that bread is unimportant, but he reminds Satan that human beings do not live by bread alone. Jesus will say, I didn't come simply to gratify myself, but I come to do God's will. Jesus came to bring God's mercy and forgiveness and redemption. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that all of the world's problems can be settled if people just have a full stomach or if they have their material needs met. And having material needs met are important. But it's not the most important thing. We live in the richest, most prosperous nation in the world. There's more food, more than enough food for all of us. And yet, most of our problems are still there. Sometimes those problems are even exacerbated by the fact that we have so much. We have so much bread, so much food. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And indeed, Jesus is the Word of God, the Word of God in our midst, the one who brings God's love and forgiveness and redemption. Next, Satan takes Jesus atop a pinnacle and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. If you are the Son of God, then you need to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that what the Son of God is supposed to be? You can have all these kingdoms. All of these kingdoms, they belong to me. They can all be yours. Think of all the good you can do, Jesus, if you're in control. Think of the justice that you can bring to light. Think of all the good things you can do. You can institute health reform. You can balance the budget. You can cut taxes. You can institute justice. Think of all the wonderful things you can do. You can do it all. You can have it all. All you've got to do is fall down and worship me. In other words, what Satan is telling Jesus is to do things his way. The kingdoms of the world are ruled by domination and power and control and self-interest. And Satan saying, Jesus, if you do it this way, you can have it all. I'll give it all to you. They belong to me. But Jesus says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve? Then Satan takes Jesus atop the temple. If you are the Son of God, then do something spectacular. Show everyone that God is with you, that God is on your side, that God will protect you. Once they find out that you're not vulnerable like other people are vulnerable, then you'll have them eating out of the palm of your hand. If you're the Son of God, jump off from here and show the people how God is on your side and God will protect you. But Jesus responds, it is said that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What this text wants us to understand is that in the midst of all of these temptations, Jesus remains true to who he is. He remains true to his vocation and his identity. Jesus is the Son of God. But he's not the kind of Son of God that the devil wants him to be. He's not even the kind of Son of God that we sometimes want him to be. Instead, he stays on track. He keeps focused on his mission and his way, the way of God, the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love. Jesus says that his way is good news. It is good news for the brokenhearted. It is good news for the lost. It is good news for the hungry. It is good news for all of those who are in the wilderness. Jesus will provide bread. He'll provide bread for himself and bread for others. But he will do it his way. Jesus will become Lord of lords and King of kings. He'll be given all of authority. But he'll do it his way. He won't do it in the way of the world. Not the way that we sometimes want him to do it. Not the way of power. Not the way of domination. Not the way of control. Not the way of advancing one's self-interest, but the way of self-giving love. On Easter morning, God will do something spectacular for Jesus. But it will be done God's way. The way of the cross. The way of love. Our text this morning tells us that Satan strikes out three times, but he's not soundly defeated. Luke tells us that he waits for an opportune time, an opportune moment when Jesus is again lonely and vulnerable. We know when that time is. It's on when he's at the cross, when he's hanging on the cross and the crowds are shouting at him, "You saved others, now save yourself. If you're really the Son of God, come down from there. If you're really the Son of God, you won't allow this to happen. Come down from there." But Jesus remains on the cross for our sakes. I'm always amused every time I see those statistics that show that a relatively large percentage of Americans believe in God, as if that alone tells us anything. 70% of Americans still believe in God. Despite our secular society, many people still believe in God. But the vast majority of people have always believed in some kind of deity or another, some kind of God. And so the question to ask is, what kind of God do people believe in? Which God is it that is so popular in our society? Often the God that we are tempted to follow looks an awful lot like the God that Satan is trying to peddle in our text this morning. A God that we can petition to cater to our needs. A God that we might ask to protect us from harm or to bolster our side in the political debates. But the God that we come to know in Jesus Christ is not that kind of God. The God that we come to know in Jesus Christ is a strange and peculiar God. Just what kind of God would allow himself to be beaten and humiliated? Just what kind of God would allow himself to be hung outside the gate on the cross? Just what kind of God would allow his life to be taken for wayward and sinful human beings? What kind of God would allow himself to go through all of that? Well, it's the same God who has told us that he loves this world so much, that he loves you and me so much, that he'd give everything so that we might be reconciled to God's self. And it's the same kind, the same God that asks us to die to ourselves, to deny ourselves and to pick up our own cross and to follow him along the path of self-giving love, the path of the cross. Now, I know we're not altogether comfortable with that God. We're not altogether comfortable with the cross. Sometimes we don't like all this talk about love and a God of love. We prefer a God of power. We prefer a God of judgment. We prefer a God that will get people that disagree with us. That's the kind of God a lot of people were looking for in that first century. But Jesus stayed on track, stayed on his way, stayed on the way of the cross. If you want to know how peculiar this God is, just consider some of the things that God asks us to do. He asks us not just to pray for ourselves, not just to pray for our friends, not just to pray for our loved ones, but he asks us to pray for our enemies. Love our enemies. Is Jesus for real? Is this God for real? Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who are trying to harm us. Pray for Al-Qaeda. Pray for those who would abuse us. Pray for those who we adamantly disagree with. Pray for the criminals that are prevalent in our streets. Pray for those wayward Democrats or those wayward Republicans. Pray for all of those people that we disagree with. Is Jesus crazy? Is he for real? I don't know about you on this first Sunday in Lent, but I admit that I'm tempted this morning. I'm tempted to get off track. I want a God of my own choosing. I want a God who will cater to my needs. I want a God that will help me win. I want a God that will protect me from my enemies. I don't know if I want a God who wants me to follow him to the cross. In fact, I'm not sure about this cross thing at all. I'm not sure about having the cross as my symbol. If there's a symbol that appeals to me, it's that Nike swoosh symbol. I want to win. I want God to be on my side. I want God to do my bidding. But the Bible reminds us that's not the kind of God that we come to know in Jesus Christ. We are reminded that we are called to stay on track. We are the body of Christ, you and I. We are called to be Jesus's disciples. We are called to follow him wherever he goes. We are called to follow him to the cross. We are called to get out of our comfort zones. We are called to die. That makes us a bit uncomfortable. We would rather live for ourselves. We would rather be preoccupied with our own futures as we see fit, or the life of our church. We don't want to put ourselves at risk. This is a strange God that we are asked to follow. And yet, the good news for us is this, that Jesus will not be tempted to be the Savior that we want. Jesus will not be tempted to be the kind of Savior that we think we need. If Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, if he is indeed God with us, then that means everything changes. That means the world is turned upside down. That means that the sovereign powers of this world, the principalities and the powers, no longer have any claim over us. It means that we have been set free to love God, set free to give ourselves, set free to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross. That is what this season of Lent is all about. Will we stay on track? Will we, the body of Christ, the people of God, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit like Jesus was, will we stay on track? Will we keep the cross before us? Or will we be tempted to get off track? The good news for us this morning is that Christ stayed on track. And because Christ stayed on track, we know that we have life and have that life in abundance. The cross, then, is not just another duty. Following Jesus is not just another obligation. It is what liberates us to that new life that is promised to us. It is that new life, that ability to love one another and to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds that Jesus allows us to be able to do. Will we be able to follow that Jesus? Will we be able to follow the way of self-giving love? Will we be able to follow the cross? Jesus is calling for us this morning. Jesus is calling for each and every one of you. He wants you to have life. The forces and the powers of this world have nothing to offer but death. But Jesus wants you to have life. He's calling for you this morning. Follow me. Follow the way that brings life. Follow me to the way of self-giving love. That is our way this morning. That is God's way this morning. That is why we are assembled here this morning, because we are the one community that has been asked to be the witness and the light of the world. Can you imagine that? We are the one community that has a cross as our symbol. We are the one community that has a cross, and it is the symbol of eternal life. In the midst of a darkened world where all kind of things are on offer, we are the one community that has life. Sometimes we're not quite sure that we want to proclaim that. Sometimes we're not quite confident that we want to get up and say that we have life. We know the way. We know the way of salvation. We know the way that brings new life. We know the way. We are the one community that has that. And sometimes we are afraid to proclaim it. Lent affords us this opportunity to proclaim it, to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the way of life, to the way of self-giving love. This time, let us pray. Eternal God, you have called each and every one of us to follow you. You have reminded us that when you call us as your disciples, that what you desire that we do is to die to ourselves, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow you. We ask that during this season of Lent, as we journey with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you will help us to be able to do that, that you will help us to be able to bear witness as a community to who you are. The people will see and know who we are, not simply by what we say, but most importantly, by how we live as that beloved community that has given everything to follow you. Help us, Lord, to take the cross, to live it, to take it deep down inside of our hearts. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to keep focused and to keep on track for the glory of the one who came to be with us, who came so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen.